Our reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of someone possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Take the words you have given me, O God. Root them deeply in the soil of all our hearts and make them grow. Amen. A long time ago, in a life before Anglesey, I lived with my husband and two children in a converted barn in South Derbyshire. And our kitchen window looked out onto a field at the bottom of the garden. In the field, the farmer kept two old sheep who had never gone to market. He was very attached to these sheep, and so were my children, who were little then. They loved them and adopted them and gave them names. One day, when the children had gone to school, I was washing up and looking out the kitchen window, and there was one of the sheep standing, looking straight back at me. I thought, "Oh, he must really love me too," I thought. "I wonder if that's Julia's sheep or Tom's sheep." After lunch, I looked out of the kitchen window again, and there was the sheep standing looking straight back at me. I thought, "Wow, I must have a real connection with this sheep. It's just sitting there staring at me." When the children came home from school, there the sheep was again. "Look," I said, "that sheep has been coming to look at me all day. What do you think it's trying to tell me?" Not a question I was expecting to get an answer from them. And then, when my husband came home from work, I said to him, "Look, that sheep has been looking at me all day." "It's no wonder," he said, as he looked out of the window. "It's got its head stuck in the fence." So we all trooped out to free the sheep from the fence. You'd think it would be grateful, but no. It struggled and kicked. It didn't even know it was stuck, any more than I'd known it was stuck. And it took a long time to realise that it was free. And I realised in that moment that I'd never make a shepherd. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus, thankfully. One of the seven of his I am sayings, the seven pictures among many he uses to describe himself in the Gospel of John, the sayings we've been delving into in the evenings lately. It was common back in the time of Jesus for messengers travelling over distances and burning to impart important news to introduce themselves with the words, "I am." And Jesus certainly had an important message. The important message, the only message. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that message. And how far had that message travelled, yet how close was the messenger? Way back in the desert wilderness of early Exodus, another shepherd had been given an important message from the very source of the eternal flame. God, God's self, had spoken to Moses from the heart of the burning bush. "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Exodus 3:6. "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." So when Jesus says, "I am," he is revealing just how close the message is to the messenger. He is revealing the burning heart of God. "The Father knows me and I know the Father," says Jesus in verse 14. God is the messenger. God is the message. And when God had introduced God's very self to Moses, Moses was transformed in that moment from a shepherd of sheep to a leader of the people. So I guess there could be a bit of a clue there why Jesus chose to introduce himself as the good shepherd. Shepherds and leaders have always been synonymous in scripture, as have sheep and people. Sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, so I'm told. Don't know how many times shepherds are mentioned, but I should imagine as many. I've told the story of the sheep being stuck in the fence many times over the years. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. That's Isaiah 53. "I am the good shepherd," says Jesus. So he reveals God's own heart, but also he reveals our hearts in those words. He reveals our continuing need for a good shepherd to lead us all our strayful lives. We need the good shepherd. In this perilous community of human life, as St. Augustine called it, there are so many distractions and complications that things are not always as they seem to us. And there are so many worries and hurdles and struggles that we end up thinking that the grass is definitely much greener on the other side of the fence. So it's really easy to get our heads stuck in the first place. And we can also easily become stuck in ways of seeing, thinking or behaving, of interrelating with each other, with God. And if we're really stuck, like that sheep, there's no way of knowing. We can only see one way, and that's the way we believe it is. We stay where we're stuck, not realizing that the rest of the sheep have long gone back into the fold, or to the higher pasture, or been scattered by that creeping wolf, which can't quite believe how easy dinner is to catch today. We get stuck. The very first parable in the Bible is a sheep story. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 5, King David had caused his friend Uriah to die in battle, purely so he could steal his wife Bathsheba. So the prophet Nathan tells King David a story about a rich man who steals a poor man's only beloved ewe lamb. And David burned with anger against the man, and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the one who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. You are the man." Through the story of the sheep, Nathan showed David his own heart and how he'd become stuck in a way of behaving that betrayed trust, betrayed lives, betrayed Israel, betrayed God. The ultimate straying sheep, David, once the carer of little lambs, had become a bad shepherd. The worst kind of leader, worse than the hired hand who runs away. He's the wolf in sheep's clothing, on the lookout for prey to feed his own needs and urges. Getting stuck can end up being destructive. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life. In Genesis 22, God asks Abraham to do something worse than his very worst nightmares, something horrendous and huge. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." And there he was, knife poised, when the angel of the Lord cried out again, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its thorns and sacrificed it instead of Isaac. "I will lay down my life," says Jesus. In Isaiah 53, we read, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. "I lay down my life for the sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." So many times in this one small passage back in John, "I will lay down my life." The importance of the message echoing through salvation history and repeated over and over again. The good shepherd and the sacrificial lamb are one. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and got our heads stuck in the fence. And only God himself, through Christ, can free us. God has provided the ram, the lamb, his beloved only son. And on Christ's authority and God's command, it's his sacrifice instead of ours. Christ's authority and God's command. Another way of saying, this is God's will. This is the way it is. However far we stray, he will save us. He died for us. The good shepherd is determined to set us free, however much we struggle against being free, however deeply we don't know we're stuck, and thus so easy prey. It only occurred to me very recently that not only did I not see that sheep that had got its head stuck in the fence that day, I too had my own head stuck. It was only after we freed that sheep that God did a bit of dragging of myself out of the fence of my own life and freed me up to follow him once more. And the good shepherd finally did lead me to new pastures, first into ministry in my home church in Leicestershire, and now in retreat ministry in Anglesey. And this is quite often the view from my window now. The sheep are just a little bit closer than they've ever been, and they come and they put their noses against the kitchen window. There might not have been wolves in our countryside for thousands of years now, but recently we've seen quite often the early morning red slink of a fox. But these hoary old rams wouldn't be troubled by any attack, I'm sure. They're the big lads, capable of doing enough damage on their own. A while back, we were in Anglesey on holiday before we moved, on a farm near Dwyran, and the caretaker guy showed us some windows on another property that he was having to replace because some rams in the field had seen their reflections in the glass, thought they were other rams invading their turf, and smashed into them. I'm quite glad, actually, that the farmer moved our woolly neighbours into the field round to the front of the house and away from the kitchen window, which was sometimes clean enough for them to see their reflections, because I had visions of them going on a ram raid and ending up in the sink. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. How we need the good shepherd who knows his sheep, for how little we often know ourselves. So little that we don't recognise ourselves in our own reflections, but see instead an enemy threatening to hurt us. How we need the good shepherd who loves and cares for his sheep with the love of God, his Father. For how so often, how little do we love and care for ourselves? So little maybe that we get transfixed by our own reflections and then beat ourselves up. How we need the good shepherd who knows us even before we were born, who shows us our true loved selves, even in the midst of the very brokenness of our fragile lives. There's a little passage in Micah which talks about God's people as a flock of sheep which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands, and a call for the shepherd to lead them out so they can feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days long ago. Last Sunday morning, Rob Beamish talked about how we so often make our lives small and constricted because we go astray, because we get stuck, because we get distracted or we're in conflict. And I was reminded of this little flock which lives in a dark forest, when actually there is light, spacious place all around that they cannot see or get to. How sad. But how often can that happen? Whole flock stuck in the dark. Yet because of the good shepherd who has laid down his life for us, we are surely out of the woods, in the sunlight and the lush green pastures and the boundaries fallen in pleasant places. And for that we can frolic about for joy. But there are so many who are still like sheep gone astray, trapped in that darkness, even though the fertile pastures are all around. And that certainly resonates for me when Jesus says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. There's so much comfort and joy in this passage as the good shepherd frees us from our stuckness, rescues us from our lostness, lifts us out of our conflicts and illusions, shows us we are loved and cared for and known, and gives himself up to the wolves so we may live. But there is challenge too. It divided his hearers that day, and it can still cause division. For this is our call to the other sheep. Just as Christ is both sheep and shepherd, we too, even as we are like the sheep that go astray, we are asked to be shepherds, to lead others out of the darkness into God's marvellous light. But what if they're not of this pen? They're going to be other breeds with different faces, from different places. They may be people I don't understand or have nothing in common with or been brought up to disapprove of or fear. I can feel myself getting stiff-necked with stuckness all over again. But perhaps the sheep themselves can help me out here. So one final sheep story for tonight. Ireland this time. Coast of Kerry. Another summer holiday. We were stopping in a little cottage overlooking the sea and the Dingle Peninsula, out in the middle of nowhere, where the field boundaries were ancient and beautiful. And yeah, we were surrounded by sheep. We seemed to pick these places. In the second week, one sheep decided to lie down. It curled up by the wall on the path outside our cottage. And we realised it was slowly dying. There was nothing we could do except watch it and try and find the shepherd to tell him. One evening, we got back, went to check on the sheep, just at the moment when its final breath left its body. I was a bit teary by this time, and it took a while to notice that standing a little way off from the sheep was another ewe with a lamb. They waited a way off until we came away from the sheep, and then they trotted up to it, nuzzled the dead sheep gently, and then trotted away. What we were witnessing, I'll never know. But I felt humbled and privileged to be connected to God's creation in a new and unspoken way. There was such silent mystery and dignity in the way those two sheep stayed close by the one who died and then said goodbye. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And we do need God to bring us safely back into the fold. But we, like sheep, as God's creation, belong to each other, are bonded with each other in ways even we two-legged, right-left-brained humans don't understand. Do we all, like sheep, look out for one another, stay close to one another, right to the end? John 13:34, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It has to be simple for me to tell it. If you want to show you follow the Good Shepherd, love one another as Christ loved you. Loving one another isn't an option. If you say in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you love one another. And the Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He knows we can. But isn't it sometimes so hard? Because we often get so stuck, so conflicted and constrained. So in Colossians 3, verse 12, Shepherd Paul tells it to a struggling early church as he tries to release their heads from the fence. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another and forgive what grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Forgiveness. When we have even a seed of forgiveness in our hearts, it's the only way we know we aren't stuck, either with our heads in the fence or transfixed by our own reflections. It may be a struggle, and it may be disconcerting, but to even dip our toe in the great ocean of God's mercy and forgiveness is the only way we know we are free. When I was a minister with special responsibility with older people, I used to visit a lady who was becoming increasingly housebound. And she would tell me about how some of her family had fallen out with each other. I can forgive, she said, humbly, and with a lived experience that life is too short and God's command is too powerful for anything else. And in that moment, although her body was still pinned to the chair, I saw her gambling free in a limitless green pasture without fences or boundaries. Psalm 119. I will run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. When we have forgiveness in our hearts, wrapped around with love, hard won because it is hard, then we will know we are free. Things may seem a struggle, but that could be just God's hand on our heads, releasing us back into our field, freeing us from our stuckness, freeing us to go and stand alongside maybe that other sheep who needs our love right now. They might not be of the same pen, but Jesus said he must bring them in. He died for them too, and they will hear his voice. And if that's what the Good Shepherd says, then we can only follow. It's why we're free. Amen. Let's pray. Good Shepherd, let us be your sheep through and through. Let our compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness and patience be our second skin. Help us to love one another as you love us, and to love others into your heart, for you will stand and shepherd your flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and we will live securely, for then your greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and you will be our peace, one flock, one shepherd, eternal love. Amen.